hard-packed dirt, shallow rocky dirt, thorn-infested choking dirt, and rich, fertile Miracle-Gro dirt. Dave Wortson, our Truth Encounter study leader, challenges us from Matthew 13 verses 1 to 23 to think hard about our own hearts and the kind of dirt that describes our internal state. Dave?
I wanted to talk to you this morning about something that probably a lot of you don't think about that much, unless you're Bill Prickrell and you're an expert in this stuff. But I brought some of it because some of you have been raised in Manhattan like I was, and you didn't get a chance to see it very much. I want to talk to you this morning about dirt. I'm going to talk to you about the exhilarating subject of dirt. Some of you that were raised in downtown New York, this is what it looks like. Okay? Some of you that are like Kim, you cherish this stuff, you love this stuff. Stop and think about this stuff. Every one of your lives depend upon the top 3 or 4 to 6 inches of this stuff. You can ask Bill Prickrell, he's an expert on this. The truth of the matter is that every one of us in this room are sitting here today because there's enough of that very top layer, this really deep, dark brown stuff. If you're from where Dave Lowry was raised in the Lancaster Valley and everything, they have the best dirt probably in all the world that's right there. And if you are a farmer, you owe it to yourself to get in your car at least once in this life or jump in an airplane and go see some of that Lancaster County dirt. This is great stuff. We're all dependent upon it. I also thought about this dirt. The truth of the matter is that every one of you were made from this. You ever stop and think of it? Some of you young girls got up today and you looked in the mirror and you've already spent 2 hours getting ready, getting this dirt ready. In fact, there's magazines that are written about how to preserve this dirt and how to take care of this dirt. But the truth of the matter is, if you just stop and think of it, you know what? One day all of you are going to go back to this dirt. That's a sobering thing, isn't it? Some of you have debates in your household. Should you be cremated? Should you be buried? And some of you that have horrors of being cremated, you want to be put in there and we want us to pump you full of chemicals and you think you're going to last forever. Well, I got news for you. Let a few years go by and just as certainly as someone that was cremated, you just become a little pile of dirt that you can put in a little jar. That's very humbling, you know, it really is. This is what we're made of. In fact, the Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 2, it says that God took some of this dirt, made kind of a statue like Michelangelo because God loves to be an artist and he loves to do things in a way that we can understand. And then he breathed into that statue and suddenly Adam was a living person like us. The book of Ecclesiastes says that when God calls that spirit home, then just like that, we go back to dirt. That's very humbling. I'm going to talk to you today in Matthew 13 about the parable of the sower. Like a lot of things, I've heard all kinds of messages about the parable of the sower, but interesting enough, as we've been working our way through the book of Matthew, and we look carefully at Matthew 13, there's very little said about the sower. It's really not the parable about the sower. Now, the whole book of Matthew is about the sower. It's about Jesus. It's about this incredible man that was born of the Virgin Mary. It's about this incredible man who could give sight to the blind. About this incredible man that eventually is going to go into the ground, and he's the only person I know that's ever lived on planet Earth that didn't become dirt. The Bible didn't allow him. God, his Father, didn't allow him, his body, to become dirt. Instead, he beat the dirt. He rose again from the dead. That's why I trust him today. Now, the whole book of Matthew is about that. But Matthew 13 focuses on the dirt. And what I want to tell you is that every single one of you are like 4 kinds of dirt. I've often taught this passage, even in my own life, I've heard probably 10 or 15, 20 messages that talk about the parable of the sower, and they teach you about witnessing. About what you should expect when you witness from the parable of the dirt. And that's valid. But in context, what the Lord Jesus is really talking about is that we're at a major transition in the book of Matthew. We started out this book with chapter 1 telling us he's the son of David, he's the son of Abraham. We have him miraculously born of the Virgin Mary. We have Herod and the religious leaders attacking him. We have him flee to Egypt. We have him raised in Nazareth. Then we have him introducing the ministry. John the Baptist announces the Son of God's going to come. The Messiah's going to come. He identifies Jesus as that promised one. Jesus is attacked by the evil one in chapter 4, and he overcomes him in this terrible temptation narrative. And then in chapter 5, 6, and 7, he lays out his kingdom. He shows us what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, what it really means to know him. And I want to challenge you. It's what I've stressed again and again and again. what our church family is about is not about religion. It's not about being in a temple. It's not about being in a beautiful church. It's about where do you stand in a personal relationship with Jesus. And I want you to think that that's what Jesus was challenging people to him as he presented the sermon. And he shared with them what his kingdom was going to be like. And you're going to decide, do you want to live in Jesus' kingdom? Or do you want to live in another kingdom? Do you want to live under someone else's authority? That's the whole big challenge. And then he comes up, and after he finishes the Sermon on the Mount, then he goes into action again, and he does many miracles again. And that's what we've been seeing. He's been wrestling with the evil one. He's been casting out demons. He's gotten in a great big fight. All of chapter 12 was a big confrontation with the religious leaders over the Sabbath and how you kept the Sabbath and whether or not his ability to exorcise demons was from God or whether it was from Satan. As we come to chapter 13, Matthew slows down the action again, and now for the next couple chapters, we're going to be having Jesus teach us again. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. As we open up to Matthew chapter 13, you get a great insight into what it was like to hear Jesus speak. Now, a whole bunch of you have the idea that this religious stuff, this teaching from the Bible and everything, that's something you do on Sunday morning. But that's really not the way the real historical Jesus taught. In fact, Jesus sometimes taught in the synagogue. In fact, he taught right in the Capernaum synagogue. And that was one of the places that he taught. But another place that Jesus taught was right out in the marketplace. And as we begin chapter 13, Jesus has been having this conflict with the religious leaders. And what's probably been happening, they probably started out in the streets of Capernaum because it probably was Peter's house and Peter's hometown and where Jesus set up home base. They're having this conflict. Jesus goes inside the house. The debate continues. And Jesus ended the last week when we studied. Jesus ended by telling us this weird story about someone that had a demon cast out of him and then got his house all cleaned up and then ended up with seven other demons coming back to live in his life, and his final state was worse than his initial state. And Jesus talked about the danger of cleaning up our life without Jesus. And then he closed by his family knocks on the door, you might say, and Mother Mary and all of his brothers say, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus says something really strange. He says, he points to all the people that are crowded. Maybe he's still outside in the doorway. He points at all these people that are clamoring to hear him. He says, the ones who do what my Father wants them to do. And in the book of Matthew, that would be the ones who listen to the Father's representative. The one who gets serious about the Sermon on the Mount. The ones that really allow this promised one to come into their life. The ones who really do the will of the Father. Those are really my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. And I pray with all my heart that you become part of that new family, because that's what this is about. And I pray that you become part of an incredible family that reaches around the world, reaches down through the centuries, of everyone that really has decided to invite Jesus into their life and to have Jesus give them a new life. Now, as we open up to chapter 13, it's kind of like Jesus gets restless. And he goes outside the house, and I can picture him kind of, he wants to kind of get him alone. Unlike some of the preachers, maybe even me, I'm sure that some of you will grow up and say, man, he's boring as everyone else. But Jesus wasn't boring. You see, people clamored to hear Jesus teach. Jesus goes out, he tries to sit down, I think, by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is just a big lake. You could picture it. It's like someone goes up to Cedar Hill Park, goes down by that shoreline of Joe Pool Lake, and he wants to have a little bit of quiet time, a little bit of a break, and man, people just start to throng him. People want to hear him teach. They want to hear him talk. In fact, the crowd got so big that Jesus got in a boat, a little fishing boat. They shoved off a little bit inshore, and you've all seen this picture from the time you were kids, but you probably never thought about the significance of it. The crowd so much wanted to hear Jesus talk that he had to get in a little boat and get away from them a little bit so everyone could hear him teach. And that's where we start out in Matthew chapter 13. Look what it says. It says, that same day that Jesus had his mom come and his brothers and sisters, and he pointed to the crowd saying, these are my real brothers and sisters. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat down by the lake. But such large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables and stories. Jesus was a great teacher. And one of the things I pray with all my heart is that you'll open your heart and hear this great teacher speak. And one of the things about great teachers is that they communicate deep truths to us. But they do it in powerful ways that are so simple. And they explode in our life. And that's what Jesus does here. Now listen to it. I want you to imagine like you're standing along the seashore. Maybe the crowd sits down so they can all kind of see. And Jesus begins to teach. And he starts to tell a story that these agricultural people would all get. He says this. A farmer like Kim Lewis went out to sow some seed. And as Kim was sowing the seed, getting his wheat field ready, he has to leave his household and he's taken the wheat seed across the street, across Mount Zion Road. And as he goes across Mount Zion Road, some of the seed falls on the road. He says, as he was scattering the seed, some of the seed fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. And the idea is some of the seed that Kim's throwing out falls on the road. The birds, the crows and everything else come and they eat up the seed and it's gone. To make it historical, what Jesus is talking about is some dirt like this. And I brought some of it here. It's in my mixed nuts planter's can. It's caliche. If you don't know what this is, when Mary and I built our house, we didn't have a concrete thing. Kim and I and our boys poured that years later. But we started out going down to Blum, Texas, and we got caliche. A friend of mine named Gary used to haul big loads of this stuff up. And what it is, it's base, and it compacts really hard. It gets almost like concrete until it gets really wet, and then it becomes mud again. But it packs down really hard. And this is what Jesus is talking about. In Jesus' first century world, as you went out in the field, there would be paths. You've all seen them. When you've hiked in the woods, you've seen them. When people walk on a path again and again and again, it packs it down. And even when I walk through a lush forest where there's greenery everywhere, on the path that's well-traveled, there won't be any plants because it's too hard. The seed can't penetrate that. So that's the picture here. Some of you are like caliche. You're like a hard-packed path. And it was hard for me to bring a hard-packed path today, but you got the point, okay? That's number one. Now, the next part of the dirt, some of you are like that dirt, and you need to think about it. You're like a hard-packed path dirt. Now, there's some other seed and some other dirt that Jesus talks to us about. Kim Lewis, as he goes across the road, throwing the seed around because he's kind of sloppy. It says that as he did this, he said, some fell in verse 5 on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Now, as Texans, especially living in Midlothian, we all got this, man. We got the rocky soil down. There it is. How many of you have this all over your yard? How many of you have used crowbars and big, long steel rods trying to break this stuff up? You all identify with this. In fact, Kim, in some of your wheat field, do you have some of this stuff, okay? Some of the seed falls in that kind of ground, and some of you are like that. And what this ground does, the seed lands on that. There's a very shallow topsoil on that hard limestone. The same thing is true in Galilee, where Jesus was raised. And the plants grow up really quick. But man, as soon as the sun comes and as soon as there's not enough water, just like that, the plant dies. So some of you are like that. Some of you are like hard-packed path dirt. Some of us are like shallow, stony dirt. Now the next ground, Jesus talked to us about a third ground. It says, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and it choked out the plants. So I brought, it was hard to bring dirt with all the thorns and everything else, but this is some stuff that grows all over my yard, and these thorns are killers. The incredible thing about this stuff is, like, it's really hard to grow really good plants, but it's easy to grow this stuff. Have you noticed that? One thing about this fallen ground is you can grow thorn bushes anywhere you want. It's hard to grow the good stuff. And Jesus describes that some of the seed falls on dirt that's loaded with thorns, thorn bushes and thorns. And as the plants begin to grow up, the thorn bushes just overcome the little plants and they get choked out. And so they're never able to grow up and then produce their blooms and then produce their fruit and produce their seeds and to grow. So some of you are like thorny ground, where the plants initially grow, but as they begin to grow, they get choked out. Now, there's a fourth kind of ground. Some of you are like Miracle-Gro. And I just brought the this really isn't what it, this is really the fertilizer, but you got the idea, and said Miracle-Gro on it, okay? Before my kids grew up, in fact, while my kids were growing up, I never thought about plants. You know, Dave Lowry and Deb, they've always been, especially Dave, has always been the plants. Ever since I knew him, he told me about his summers where he worked in putting in yards and everything else. And if you want to see a botanical garden without spending any money, just go to Dave and Deb's backyard in the spring. It won't cost you anything, and you're all invited. Dave will kill me, and Deb will really kill me. But I've never been into that, and Dave will vouch for that. But for some nutty reason, as my kids have grown, one of the things I have discovered that it's really not good to go out and get a bunch of rose bushes and just plant them just anywhere and expect anything to happen. The guys that really do this, and Dave will say that what you really need to do is to prepare the ground. Neil Sperry will tell you, you need to prepare the ground. Kim will tell you, if you're going to be a good farmer, you got to prepare the ground. You got to plow it up, and you want to make sure it has enough fertilizer. And there's a fourth kind of ground, which is like this Miracle-Gro. One of the things I've discovered, and some, I'm sure that a million of you that are really into this are going to come and say, man, that's lousy dirt. You need to use this kind of dirt. It's much better. I'll be glad to take all your suggestions. But one of the things I've found is that you can go to Home Depot, get these great big bags of Miracle-Gro dirt. And it's amazing when you put those in your flower pots and you plant your bushes and your plants and that stuff. It's amazing what happens. It's like a miracle. It's much better than planting your stuff in this caliche, this hard-packed stuff out of Blum, Texas. That just doesn't work very well in azalea bushes and that. So Jesus said there's a fourth kind of ground that is like that luscious Lancaster, marvelous dirt that can produce a crop. And look what Jesus said. He says, and some fell upon good soil, and where it produced a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30 times what was sown. And it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, some of you, as I've been talking today, haven't heard a thing that I've said, because you're into something else. In other words, some of you might be young kids. You might be 14 years of age, and the only reason you're here today is because mom and dad made you come, and you still are under mom and dad's authority, so you're here. So you haven't heard anything. Some of you are adults that are here. Some of you haven't heard the word that I've said, and you need to stop and think, because that's describing what kind of ground you are. And that's why Jesus says, every good teacher will say, now listen to me, because if there's magic in those words. If my mind has been wandering and I haven't been thinking about what's being said, when my teacher says, now listen to me, wham, I suddenly wake up, oh yeah, yeah, I got to get with it again. That's what Jesus is doing. He says, now listen to me. And the disciples ask him a question at this point. In the next part, the disciples ask Jesus, why in the world do you talk to the people in these parables? Why do you talk to them in these stories that have deep spiritual meaning? Why do you use these illustrations? And there's been all kind of debate in the church about the parables. In fact, if you were raised around 300 years after Christ or 400 years after Christ, in fact, the preacher that spoke to you on Sunday morning would go into all kind of details about this story of the four soils. And man, they would have every single piece of dirt, every single thorn, every single bird, every single thing would fit some schema. That's called allegory. Like when you read Pilgrim's Progress, it's an allegory. Every single part of that imaginary story is speaking to something else. Now, Jesus is telling a story that's not exactly an allegory. And the word that's used for a parable is used, like in the Old Testament, it's used of a proverb. And it can stand for a riddle that I might tell you. It can be a story that I might tell you. It might be a brief, short principle, an insight into life. It might even be an allegory. It could include that, where every single detail of my story is going to communicate something else. The point that's a key issue here is that it's a comparison. And one of the things that all of you are made to think like this is we move from the concrete to the abstract. We can get into dirt. Even as I've been talking to you, the smallest child can understand. Okay, Sunday morning, four kinds of dirt. There is hard-packed, path dirt. There is stony, shallow dirt. There is thorn-infested dirt. And there is beautiful Lancaster, marvelous dirt that's going to grow a crop. You can all understand that. Simple, very straightforward. Jesus talked in parables because everyone, the smallest child to the oldest adult, can understand that. But if you don't want to think about it, If you don't really want to get the message, then you can let the story go right over your head and not get the point. And that kind of reveals the way we respond to Jesus' story. As Jesus talks to us, the way we respond to those stories shows what kind of a heart Dave Wurtson has and what kind of a heart that you have. In fact, Jesus tells us something very interesting. He says, you know, disciples, I'm kind of like Isaiah. You see, Isaiah, 800 years before Christ, was speaking to an audience that was wandering away from God. They were worshiping a lot of other things. And Isaiah had to give them some really hard messages. For example, one of the messages they gave is that judgment's coming. And if you don't get your act together, if you don't turn around, destruction's coming. And Isaiah told stories too. In fact, Isaiah was told when he started preaching that he was going to speak to an audience that wouldn't be that responsive. One of the things when I started out in the ministry is when people didn't listen. And I used to get really discouraged about it. In fact, I used to feel that when people that were in our church family that came and gathered with it, when they went out and really blew it, I used to think it was all my fault. Sometimes I would feel like I'm going to quit because I blow it again and again and again and again. And some of you feel that way. Some of you teach Sunday school classes and the kids grow up and they don't do what you want them to do, or work with the young people. And some of the young people go away to college and they just mess up completely. And some of you, you're a parent now and your kids are wandering away and they become very hardened. And you say, you know, what's wrong with me? And you begin to feel, because you're rejected and because your message is rejected, that there must be something wrong with me. Well, I want you to look at the book of Matthew. Matthew, in chapter 13, Jesus is wrestling with a very serious problem. You see, he is the promised Messiah. He has delivered the message about the kingdom. But tragically, you know what? There's a whole lot of his very own people that aren't listening to him. I want you to know something, that as you go out into your world this week, as you go out into your school, as you go out into your job, as you work out, as you go eat in cafes, as you share the reality of Jesus' life in you, as you share who Jesus is, as you share the good news, as you share that Jesus died on the cross, as you share about his resurrection, as you sow the seed and you live it, you live in relationship with Jesus, you know one thing you need to expect? Is a whole lot of people aren't going to accept it. See, how do you know that? Because Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus touched blind people's eyes that couldn't see, and crowds saw them see. Jesus touched ears that couldn't hear, and it wasn't some big charade on TV necessarily. I'm not saying that everything that happens on TV is pretend, but it wasn't done in a media situation. It was done along the street. It was done haphazardly, it looked like. Just, you know, Jesus would meet a blind man, like Bartimaeus. He meets just on the road from Jericho up to Jerusalem, and the guy gets healed. People saw that. You'd expect everyone to believe in him. They didn't. And either will they believe in you as you share today, either will they believe what you have to say to them today. So the big issue comes, if Jesus is the Messiah, then why didn't his own people receive him? Why did the majority of the religious leaders not receive him? Why was he rejected? He came unto his own and his own received him not. And that's a big question today. As you go out and you share with people, why don't all of them respond? And some people respond to that and say, well, because God didn't choose them. Now, the Bible does teach that God knows all things. The Bible does teach, Ephesians 1 says, God has predestined us. But you know what? The Bible says something really important, and it says it right in this chapter. Jesus points out something to us. It doesn't blame the lack of receptivity on God. That's what we all want to do. In fact, some of you sitting here this morning, you don't want to hear what God has to say because you're angry with God. You're disappointed with God. You don't want to hear what God has to say. Some of you are saying, Dave, I don't want to hear what God wants to say because I want to do what I want to do. And you'll even argue, if God was so good, if God was so kind, then he wouldn't allow all this mess to happen on planet Earth. And basically, you're not going to listen to God because you think things are really a mess and it's all God's fault. You need to listen really carefully to what Jesus says. Because the truth of the matter is, the real Jesus that spoke 2,000 years ago is speaking this morning. The real Jesus is talking deep inside every one of your hearts. It has very little to do with me. It has a whole lot to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is teaching every one of you. He's talking to you. He's speaking to your heart. And he's telling you a story this morning. And he's telling you that there's four kinds of soil, and he's challenging you to think of, which kind of a soil am I? And Jesus has asked, well, why do you speak to them in these stories? And Jesus says this from the book of Isaiah. He says, the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. This is a very interesting thing about reality. The person that begins to respond, the person that begins to listen, will get a whole lot more. In fact, a lot of life works like that. My brother Don trained with Mrs. Gearhart. She was the leading piano teacher in the whole New York, New Jersey area. One of the most marvelous geniuses in classical piano. But you know what? Mrs. Gearhart would begin to reach out to a student. But you know what? My brother says, hey, I'm 10 years old. I don't want to learn those. I don't want to learn those Mozart pieces. I don't want to play that Bach stuff. I don't want to do it. I don't want to learn that stuff. In fact, I don't really want to play the piano. You know what Mrs. Gearhart would do? It's fine. You don't have to play the piano. Go and do something else. But my brother instead responded, I want to learn more. And every one of you have probably an area in your life where it starts to happen inside of you. And the way that life works is that if you begin to respond a little bit, then you get a whole lot more. As you work with people, the tendency is to feel like it's all my fault. The reason people don't listen is because of me. And as I try to counsel people, they don't listen because of what I do. That's not necessarily so. In fact, one of the things you need to learn if you're going to really help people is you need to learn to respect people. You need to learn that every single one of them is made in the image of God, and every single one of them can make choices. You don't monkey around deep in their life and make them do one thing or the other. That's part of what Jesus is saying. And as you begin to reach out to people, as Jesus began to reach out to people, you know what? He called 12 guys. Right at this lake, one day he said, Peter, I want you to follow me. And Peter heard what Jesus said, and he followed Jesus. You know what? Peter got a whole lot more, didn't he? That Jesus ended up having the Lord God of all of heaven revealed deep in his heart. He was the very first one to publicly say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who do men say that I am? And Jesus said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? No human being revealed it to you. My daddy in heaven revealed to your heart my identity. And then he says, now be quiet about it. Because the people in Israel have a mixed up idea. They want a political king, and it's going to be very confusing. But Jesus said something incredible about Peter. He says, Peter, you received a little bit, and your heavenly daddy gave you a whole lot more. That's God's economy. If you open your heart just a little bit, you'll get a whole lot more. But if you resist it, even what you have will be taken away. And Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6 when he says this. He says, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. Some of you are going to be raised in Midlothian Bible Church from the time you're little kids. But you know what? Your heart is this hard-packed path. Your life is moving along. You got other things to do. As Jesus talked by the Sea of Galilee that day, I'm sure there were Roman soldiers that walked by. I'm sure there were Jewish priests that walked by. I'm sure there were scribes. There are all kinds of people that were walking the hard path of life. You're going to talk to some business executives. They don't talk about you. The only time they mention Jesus is when they cuss him. They never read his word. They never go to church. They think the whole thing is a bunch of baloney. You're going to meet people like that. They're hard-packed path dirt. The seed falls on them. They listen to Christian radio. They hear a message every once in a while at a funeral. They hear maybe something at a wedding. It doesn't connect at all. Jesus says that's the way it is. And Satan, like the birds, comes and just eats it and it's gone. And Jesus is saying that that's the way it is. That's the way it was in Isaiah's time. It's the way it was in Jesus' time. That's the way it is in our time. He says you will be ever hearing, but you'll never understand. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Why? Because God didn't choose them. No, it's just because these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might have seen with their eyes and hear with their ears and understood with their hearts, and they would have turned, and I would have healed them. I want you to know that if you have a hard heart, Jesus' heart is he wants to heal you. He wants to soften you. That's what Jesus is saying. In fact, one of the things Jesus is doing is he's telling you a story, because one of the ways to reach a hard heart is to tell stories. That's what Nathan did with David when he committed sin with Bathsheba. That's what every one of you wives need to learn to do if your husband is cold and indifferent to spiritual things. Learn to expose them to stories. You husbands that have a wife that has a hardened heart, learn not to pound them with objective truth. Learn to tell stories. Learn to use illustrations. That's how you get underneath somebody. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you stories, and the stories kind of work both ways. If you have a continued hardened heart, they veil the truth. But they're also like a hypodermic needle that might drive the truth underneath your defenses and maybe wake you up. And maybe you'll eventually have a soft heart. Now, Jesus closes this little discussion about the parable of the soils by explaining exactly what he's talking about. Let's look what he says. He says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And I want you to know that I think if Jesus were here teaching you, he would say, that's you, guys. You get up early Sunday morning. Blessed are your eyes because you see. In fact, in doing this for a long time, some of you, you're great encouragement to me because I've seen your eyes continually be opened more and more and more and more for years now. And some of your ears started out, man, you are deaf as anything to spiritual things. And now, man, you're teaching me stuff. Blessed are you. I want you to know that that's a marvelous thing and you need to rejoice in that. Jesus says to those that responded to him, man, this is awesome. You're blessed because your eyes are now seeing this. He says, let me explain to you what the parable means. Let me explain to you my story. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, that would be the message that Jesus is telling them. The Sermon on the Mount, the fact he's going to go to the cross, the fact he's going to rise again. That's going to become a key part of the message of the kingdom. And they don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The first person, Jesus says, is a person that is just packed, hard-packed path dirt. This is a person that the seed falls in them. It doesn't penetrate at all. And what Jesus tells us something is what we picked up in chapter 12 is you're not in neutral territory. So I want every one of you that thinks this morning, if you think you can hear me teach this morning, you think you can walk into life and you can do your own thing, you will not do your own thing. You will do Satan's thing. It's very important to understand that. Satan will gobble up God's word. You're going to meet all kinds of people that are totally indifferent to the word of God. They're totally indifferent to Jesus. He just doesn't register in their life. And you're going to be tempted to say, well, maybe Jesus isn't the truth. Don't make that deduction. What Jesus is saying is that the sum of the seed falls on a hard path, hard-packed path dirt. And Satan's able to come and he gobbles up the seed and it's gone. And it doesn't produce anything. Some of the people that are here this morning, the seed just doesn't do anything. It didn't do much for the Pharisees. Most of the Pharisees just totally rejected what Jesus said from the beginning. Herod, the terrible, wicked king, and his son, Herod Antipas, never did a thing with the kingdom. They ended up, Herod Antipas, in a couple chapters, going to cut off John the Baptist's head. That's how hard this dirt can get. I want you to know, you live in a world where there are thousands upon millions of people who are just hard-packed, path dirt. And they hear the message, and it doesn't do a thing in their life. Satan just comes and eats it up. And I want you to know that it's not because God didn't give them the seed. It's because their heart was impenetrable. Jesus says, now the second seed, the seed that fell on the stony ground, it says the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. That's this seed that falls on the stony ground. Have you ever met someone like that as you work in a youth group, as you work among people? Some of you have been in churches, they come forward every Sunday. They get all excited. Whenever you talk about having a men's meeting, they're always there. But nothing ever really happened in their life. Anybody ever met someone like that? Have you ever noticed that in every group, there's a mouth that initially, oh yeah, that's a great idea, that's marvelous, let's do it and everything. And all everybody in the group is saying, baloney, that'll last for about 5 minutes. And that can be discouraging. Some of you decided, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to serve Jesus because I work in a men's group and we meet together and there's people that yell and shout, get all excited, they never do anything. Your Savior says, some seed falls on the stony ground. You need to ask yourself, are you one of those people? I call them mouths that miss the kingdom. You say, Dave, what are you talking about? As I minister to people, I find out there's some people, they know the Bible better than I do. They look like their plant is just growing for the kingdom of God. They get everyone excited and everything. But their life, over the years, never produces any fruit. As I look back at the original group that we started with, there's some of you that we started with and you're still growing. There's also some people that started out with us that grew. They look like they were just taken off the plant. It looked like they were planted in rich soil, and they're gone. Their families are gone. They raised their kids totally away from the Bible, totally different from a commitment to Jesus. They just lived a different kind of a life. And I'm not saying that Jesus in his grace can't turn things around, but I want you to know what Jesus says about stony soil is really true. I mentioned Dave Lowry about David and the soil. David never has hopped, skipped, and jumped when I preach, to be honest with you. He's a Pennsylvanian. In fact, David will always ask me hard questions. You know, I'm emotive, passionate. David will just quietly ask me, what about this in the Word of God? What about this? But I want to tell you something about David. He's quiet. He's tons of fun. Does crazy things. Not nearly as Dallas Seminary professor as you think. Jumping over fires at our Thanksgiving thing. He does a lot of crazy things. But I want to tell you something about David. Is he's steady. He doesn't just shout for joy. But you know what? As I look back over the years together we've ministered, whenever the kingdom of God needed to be built, he was there at my side. That's a beautiful thing. And I want to challenge you. There's a whole bunch of you that you don't hop, skip, and jump. You're not a really passionate person, although there's real deep passion inside of you, but it's not on the outside. But you know what? You're rich soil. And some of you are shallow soil. You get all excited about stuff, but you don't allow things to take root. And Jesus is saying we need to let the roots go down deep. We need to let our commitment to Christ get down deep. It's not just what we do quick. It's what we do over the long run. This is not a 100-meter sprint. You got to go steady and strong. Oh, I pray that you're not just rocky soil. Jesus says the third soil is the soil of a human heart where the plant does, the seed takes root, it begins to grow. But notice what he says. He says, the one that received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, make it unfruitful. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us this. Don't worry about anything. Don't you know your Heavenly Father wants to provide for you? Jesus says not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed like a beautiful wild flower, so don't worry about your clothes. Some of you can remember a time where you would go on a mission trip. You can remember a time when you would teach a Sunday school class. You can remember a time when if we announced, man, we need to have a youth meeting, we need you to help out with that, you'd really get excited about that. But some of you right now are saying, I don't have time. Got too much to do at work. Got too much. Man, my IRA has gone in the tank. My mutual funds, I have lost 50% of my income. As I look forward to 71, I'm not going to ever make it. You're totally consumed with that. And the worries of this life, and notice it says the deceitfulness of riches, and I'm speaking to myself. You see, what really gets me in my spiritual life is the treachery. Suddenly I wake up and realize Satan has been doing a number on me. Satan has been deceiving me. And one of the biggest deceptions for us as Americans is that we begin to have our life consumed with our job, with our money, with our security. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know what? There's a good chance some of you aren't going to make it to 65. And you're all worried about it. But you could be long gone before 65. And you're all worried about it, you know, whether you're not going to be ready or not. When Jesus today wants you to have a soft heart, and he wants you to live for his kingdom, and I want to challenge you, if you live for his kingdom, you can lose all your investments on Wall Street, you'll still be okay. You can lose your car, you can lose your house, you can lose your clothes, everything, but Jesus promises you he'll keep you clothed and keep you fed. But if you get radical for the kingdom and you stop worrying about stuff, interesting enough, you know what? You'll even be a better businessman. Because a whole bunch of you don't sell very well because you're too worried about yourself. You communicate stress to me. You communicate pressure to me. And the way that life works is we go with the person that's easy. The person that's relaxed. Jesus' words. In business, if you're uptight, you're not going to be a good business person. Because you're too stressed out. You're too worried. Those of you that really get a hold of it, you'll say, man, I live for something that's never going to be taken away from me. And I'm not going to allow these thorn bushes of worry, these thorn bushes of thinking this is the end of my life. It's the truth. When I do a funeral, I've never announced at a funeral. I want you to know that the person that died has $600,000 in CDs in the bank. Let's all, yay, that's awesome. Isn't that great? I've never done that at a funeral. You all know that's the truth. Jesus speaks the truth. So don't worry about material things. The Lord's not saying that money is not important. It's not saying that money is evil. Money needs to be used for the glory of God. It just makes a lousy God, like I've told you again and again and again. And Jesus closes by saying, friend, but there's one seed. There's one ground. It's this marvelous miracle growth soil. Said some of the seed fell on good soil in it, and the little plant of the kingdom of God began to grow. And it grew and it grew and it grew, and beautiful flowers grew, and then the seeds came out of those flowers, and the seeds blew all over creation. And who would have ever dreamt what that little seed would have produced? And this is what I want. As I look at this audience, there's a whole bunch of you that are miracle growth people. I look at your life, and there was a time where you invited Jesus into your heart and life. And the little plant of new eternal life began to grow in your heart and in your life. It began to grow. And then you began to reach out to your family. You began to reach out to relatives. You began to reach out to friends. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why you need to give your life to the kingdom. What's going to happen? You're going to have to decide today. What kind of soil are you? As I think about these four kinds of soil, Jesus looks at you today and says, what's your soil? What's your heart like? So I want to ask yourself, are you hard-packed, packed dirt? The seed lands and Satan just takes it away. You're just hardened to Jesus. Jesus does nothing for you. You just don't connect. Jesus still wants you to hear. The incredible thing about Jesus is in his grace, he can take a hard packed path dirt like the Apostle Paul that was totally indifferent to him and persecuting those that loved Jesus and even killing them. And he can take a terrorist and make him soft agricultural Lancaster dirt. So please listen, because now is still the day. You don't have to be hard-packed, packed dirt forever. The sad thing is, those of you that are really hard-packed, packed dirt didn't even hear what I said, and that's tough. Are you stony, shallow dirt today? One of those really enthusiastic people. You're always talking, 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 but you never have any roots. The Holy Spirit of God wants to put roots, spiritual roots, down deep inside of you today. Are you the person that's filled with thorns? Today, Jesus says, let me uproot the thorns. Let me take out that materialism. Let me take out that worry. Let me take out that wrong perspective of just living for just this present life and the material thing that possesses. Let me set you free to live for the kingdom. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to work and that every single one of you, I really long for this. I want to pray that every single one of you one day will realize, man, you are miracle growth soil. God's seed hit your life, and you were soft, you were tender. And the little seed generated eternal life, and it grew up to build the kingdom of God. Let's pray. I would ask you, Lord, that you would use this message this morning to make many of us to become long-term farmers for Jesus, not quick-selling people. But help us become long-term farmers that will plow up fields, will work with people, will sow seeds, will hang in there with people. And I pray that you would make us men and women of faith that will believe that eventually Jesus is going to produce a crop in our own personal lives and the lives of our friends that will literally blow us away. I pray that the miracle of the miraculous growth of the kingdom would take place right here in our midst. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.